5 UTC right after the international news.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the June 1st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. The Denver Nuggets will host the Miami Heat later Thursday night in Game 1 of the Best of 7 National Basketball Association Finals. Denver, led by two-time league most valuable player Nikola Jokic, is in the NBA Finals for the first time. Miami, meanwhile, is a three-time NBA champion and has reached the NBA Finals six times under head coach Eric Spoelstra. I discussed the NBA Finals as well as the recent Basketball Africa League Finals in Rwanda with my VOA colleagues Muckbill Yabaro and Chek Tierro in our latest Nothing But Net podcast. And I asked Muckbill, who do you like in the NBA Finals, the Nuggets or the Heat?
Ooh, man, I'm going to be honest with you. I am a Laker guy. And to see what the Denver Nuggets did to my Lakers.
Yeah. I didn't see that sweep coming.
I think everybody in Denver saw it coming. Yeah. Because Denver, unfortunately for them, are not as televised, throughout the country. They don't have a lot of nationally televised games. So we are not watching them unless you have League Pass, right? And unless you're really interested in the team, you don't see how great the team is.
Yeah.
For sure. If I'm to call it, Nuggets gentlemen sweep in five at best. Yeah. At best.
I believe that same thing. Because Denver Nuggets have some loaded team and deserve to win this year.
Deepest team in the NBA?
Absolutely. Yeah. Jovic, the Joker, yeah. And all this
Jamal
Garden,
Murray. They got KCP.
And Gordon.
They have a lot of pieces,
Sonny, that they deserve to win. Because, you know, we remember the bubble when the COVID was there.
Yeah.
You know, they was eliminated by Lakers.
Yeah. And for them to come back.
And Boston was eliminated by Miami. Boston beat Miami.
Yeah.
So it's like a revenge.
Yeah.
A revenge kind of that season everybody's mentioning.
Right.
But I will go with Denver's because Denver's really is loaded to get this done this year.
Shek, you're a big man. What about that big man for Denver, Jokic? How special a player is he?
Man, Jovic, let me tell you. This guy is more skills. This guy's. His fundamental is another level. He got drafted 47.
Oh, my God.
Second round. Yeah.
Deep second round. And how many time MVP? Two-time
MVP. He could have had three-time MVP.
I think
he's going to get the finals MVP.
His vision coordination of the court is all-time high.
Smart players.
Yeah. His hand touch left and right. He's comfortable in every part of the court.
Mm.
You put him on left and right. Yeah. There's not many people that can like that.
Right.
People are feel comfortable in the right hands of the court.
Right.
And left hands of the court. It's not like that.
Right.
And he can make pass from anywhere.
You know what I love about Jokic the most, though? That his pace is a relatively slow pace, but you can't speed him up.
Absolutely.
That's an amazing thing because if you can play at your own pace, you're always going to see the game at your level, you know?
He's like a big guard. I call him a big point guard.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. He doesn't need to dunk the ball. Mm-hmm. But he changed the game and impacted the game so many levels that it's crazy to see a big man like this. It's hard to block him shot. When he go through, he's unblockable.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he can just put it in there. He's 7 feet. You know,
he's shooting the ball from up here.
Absolutely. How are you going to block that? We saw with Anthony Davis, he made some shots. Anthony Davis was like, how did you make that?
Right.
You know, that kind of thing. But they're loaded. I think they're loaded and they're going to take revenge this year.
I think the NBA probably wanted to see Lakers Celtics in terms of media markets.
Quite possibly. unfortunately for them, the guys didn't show up, you know?
Yeah.
But I think it's still going to be exciting basketball.
Muckbill, there was some exciting basketball on display recently in Rwanda, where the Men's Basketball Africa League, or BAL, wrapped up its third season on May 27th in the capital, Kigali. Now, Muckbill, in terms of the progression of the BAL from season one to season two and now wrapping up season three, what did you think of the quality of the basketball? Watching
the games from Washington, I thought the skill level of the players really improved since the BAL's debut season. Your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I definitely would agree. I think every single season, the BAL has shown that it continues to get better and better. The quality of the players, the quality of the coaching, the atmosphere, the fan perspective, the engagement, so many different things. I feel like, you know, speaking just from the perspective of being able to watch it, but having Sheck being there. Sheck, talk to us what the arena environment was like in Kigali.
Mokbel, it was a tremendous moment. It was celebrity, NBA stars, you know, these ball elevate players. Sonny, it was a lot of event around this event in Kigali that really exposed more than just basketball, that I really seen some very interesting things going on there. It was the best time for basketball season 3 because everybody see grow. You just mentioned the talents-wise. We see that it grew talent-wise, competitiveness-wise, and economy-wise because they started with COVID, you know. It was in the bubble, then the out, you know, started from the bubble, and then now we hear it now in Kigali. It was really good. There was sold out. Gym was very hard to get ticket. Apparently, this ticket is bought ahead of time. Mm-hmm. And so it was really crunch. When you come to the gym late, you're going to get in a lot of traffic, man. You might miss whatever you got going on in there. You know what I mean?
Sheck, yeah. How much credit do you give Rwanda's president, Paul Kagame, for the atmosphere in Kigali?
Oh, man. Sonny, he was... He's love sports. He got a basketball court. I think if you go to his house, he got a basketball court. He like to take you in there, show you some hoops. And so that's the president they have. And he come in, like we saw that Rwanda was out the first round, you know, Saturday they was out. But he still came to the final.
Right.
And he came with his staff and he come to sit on the fans and on the bleachers. Yeah. He didn't even come to the front. So sports is like, and all his minister of sports, everybody around him loves sport. No, this guy really loves sports. And he's trying to use sport as a soft power, like we all know, to touch Africa and give visibility to Rwanda. I think he's doing a tremendous job. You know, put Rwanda on the map. Rwanda will never be left out from this Basketball Africa League, even going forward.
Quick follow-up, Sheck. Heard some rumblings that maybe South Africa could host a window of the Basketball Africa League in 2024. Do you see that as a possibility?
Yeah, I think that's a very big, big possibility. We get to see Brent. You know, Brent is the guy, the operation court for the Basketball Africa League. He mentioned, people mentioned some stuff about the court have been really the best in Kigali to take care, I mean, Egypt to be take care of. Mm-hmm. And also, there's been talk around about how, you know, operational-wise is a little difficult. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but, you know, it's so many stuff around it. I'm not saying Egypt's not the right place to do it, but they're looking elsewhere to see if they can do something. But South Africa will be the best for sure because the NBA Africa headquarters is in South Africa, we all know. And who know? Maybe Burkina Faso or somewhere else or Egypt or... me personally, I want them to go to Ethiopia.
Yeah.
So they can have Ethiopians get interested in basketball as well. And by having big teams going to their town and having a team.
What about Somalia, Mokbel? I know Giants of Africa built a basketball court in Mogadishu.
I think it would be exciting, as Sheck mentioned, for it to honestly be anywhere, right? Whether it's South Africa, Ethiopia, Somalia, whatever makes the most sense for, you know, the game to continually expand. I think the key to the Basketball Africa League should be that it shouldn't necessarily be set countries that host it every year. Mm-hmm. Maybe have this kind of a tournament. You know how similar to like a March Madness or something, or even NBA All-Star Weekend is, where you continually have different countries hosting it so that the entire continent can get excited about it. As we've seen, Stade Malien did great. Have it in Mali. You know, like the game is there.
Somewhere,
you know, the game is there. So I think maybe having the partnership between the NBA and other organizations like Giants of Africa to set up shop. I know Cameroon in Yaoundé recently just had a, from Joakim Noah's family's foundation, just did a basketball court over there as well. Mm-hmm. So having something along those lines would be interesting, I think.
Sporty greetings. This is Godwin Owinji, co-founder of Giants of Africa, international scout with the Brooklyn Nets. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Let's take a look at some of the top players during this Kigali phase of the Basketball Africa League. Kaman Malawak, the young man from South Sudan. I know you had a chance to talk with Luol Deng, Sheck, when you were in Kigali. What are his future prospects, this young man, Malawak?
Yeah, Malawak, this young man is 7 feet, you know, that can run on the court. He's only 16,
yep.
Right? Or I don't know how old, but yeah, he's really young.
16.
They started. We saw Ayaz Duan start him a few times in their game, and in a big game, and he slashed the rim, and everybody thought he was going to really do some crazy stuff. And, it was exciting to see.
Yeah.
You can see that this is some talent, hijack talent for Africa. Mm-hmm. You know, but Luol Deng, you know, we know, all know he's been the head coach for the South Sudanese national team that's going to the World Cup, and he's really put his feet back in Africa on the ground and trying to help with development of the kids, you know, and putting them together, not only South Sudanese, but he's got building several gyms in Africa, and as you mentioned, and he's going to continue. His goal is to build every place he touches in Africa in a basketball floor in there, which is very good. But South Sudan, we see it in, they've been really good on this league all around. We have they get together, you know, and we saw Majok, we saw Nuni with other Sudanese and Malek that's there, and they're trying to mentor this kid, Sunny, because this is kids, players and coaches, players who've been there, done it, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
They're trying to give them
Give the baton back to the kids
to take it over by doing something that they haven't had the chance to do it.
Right.
You know, that's the goal from this mentorship. Luol Deng have it, and many other players that have it, the same vision to do.
Right.
We expect to see them, because a lot of people think, oh, if Joel Embiid, you out of the NBA playoff, you out of be on this place and call, just 100%. Show up. You know, don't wait until you retire and show up, because, you know, some people say that, don't retire and then go.
Right.
Go while it's happening right now, and that will give a lot of more visibility to these things, and that's very important.
That would have been a great move.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if Embiid had gone to Kigali, I think it would have been
Siakam,
a great promotional move.
Yeah, Siakam, they've been out on the playoff.
Right.
This is stuff that it will be very nice to have them come, you know, join the veteran players like Luol Deng, you know, Joakim Noah, and we see many players in Mahimi from Benin that was in Washington Wizards. All these players trying to give back. In Mahimi told me he's going to looking to bring Benin team in there.
That's amazing.
And that will be something good, because he got a capability to do it and financial ability to put some team together personally on his own. You know, it will be good to have
I like that point that you brought up, having either Joel or Pascal or players that are connected to the continent to go after they lose, because we saw, you know, Kevin Durant, after he was out of the playoffs, he went to FIBA World Championships to go there and support and watch the game. So it's not as if they can't do it. The question is, do they want to do it, or do they feel as though, you know, there's a disconnect between them being active players and then going back home, as if that's like the retirement plan? It shouldn't be.
Yeah.
I think, like you mentioned, if something like that happens and they go there while they're still active, imagine if the MVP of the NBA is sitting there watching the game, what type of exposure this would have helped assist.
A lot of attention would be toward this league.
Yeah.
But overall, a lot of players, Sonny, they might they might get an opportunity to go to the D-League. We saw one that was signed during the I think it's a Sacramento King team.
Okay.
The press release came recently. I can't think of the name right now.
Yeah.
He was signed. Ball have the press release about it. He's going to Sacramento. He's a kid from Ball.
Yeah.
And don't be surprised if we see more players from this. I heard a rumor about Janja Kouassi.
Okay.
Janja from Ayaz
Duan. Yeah, Boise.
That might join NBA D-League.
Okay.
Many more players can join.
Yeah.
You know, that's the goal of exposing this kid to show their talent. We saw him. Had a tremendous competition, you know, and that's one of the players on the list, you know, also.
Cool.
Mukbil, I heard you use the phrase MVP.
Yep.
Let's give a shout out for, Sheck mentioned him too, Nuni Omot. He was named MVP of the 2023 Basketball Africa League season. South Sudanese forward for Al Ahly.
It feels amazing. Honestly, I couldn't have done it without my teammates. They gave me a lot of confidence. Coach, you know, he gave me a lot of confidence. He let me play. He let me beat me, play my game. Without that, you know, obviously nothing would have happened if that mattered. So,
deserving of the MVP trophy.
Yeah, I personally think he was, you know, finals MVP is always one of those things where, you know, you have to make it to the final dance to get that MVP.
Yeah.
So I feel like, he definitely had a great tournament. He played excellent for Al Ahly. A lot of coaches were trying to, you know, stop him and neutralize him.
Yeah.
And other players were trying to step up as well. But putting up 22 in the finals, he was able to win for them. I think, though, there should also be maybe another award for a player that, you know, like the player of the tournament that maybe doesn't happen to win it. All I think Aliyu Diarra from Stade Malien, all-team offense, all-team defense, the only player, if I'm not mistaken, that was all first-team ball, both offense and defense. Yeah. The kid is an amazing talent. Talk to us a little about Aliyu Diarra from Stade Malien.
Yeah, I will give a credit to Nuni. Nuni is my understanding of basketball, Mugbili Ansani. He's a six. He's a big guard that's very well skilled around this league, left and right. He's very crafty as a big man. That I give it to him a lot. You know, he put this Al Ahly team on his back and to get them where they are today. We had interview him after the show. And also Aliyu Diarra is a player that's very athletic. We've seen that he's been watching after our conversation with him, you know, on Bambara. He's been watching this league 2 years now, and he came in with a mindset of dominating, and he run really. He told me most of his workout is running and jumping. Running and jumping and jump shots.
Right.
Running and jumping and jump shots. So you can
trifecta.
As a big man, I mean, he's 6'10". He's probably a little bit same height as me or a little taller.
Right.
I've been around him in Tunilu. They're both right there. Oh, he's really tough. The kids don't give up. The kid have high motor, jump higher than most players getting around, and he doesn't take no play off in the game. You know, he run fast tremendously on the court.
Yeah.
You know, he outrun all the big men around him and get a dunk every time.
Right.
He recorded 7 double-doubles, 7 games in the whole league, and it's very admirable to see a player like that, you know.
This is Nothing But Net on the Voice of America. I'm Sonny Young, along with
Mukbil Yabaro and Shek
Tiero.
And Shek, you know, you were talking about conversations you had in Kigali. I know you had a chance to talk with Amadou Galafal, the Basketball Africa League president. Do you want to set up that interview?
When they had a chance to talk to him on about how where ball is going from here and about women involvement in sports, let's take a listen.
All those great players, the great names that have paved the way in terms of African players in the NBA, Hakeem Olajuwon, Dikembe Mutombo, Manu Ball, those pioneers. We've seen, the next generation, the next wave with Luol Deng, Ibaka, Joakim Noah and the likes. And then, you know, with the launch of Basketball Without Borders in 2003, a camp that is a flagship in terms of basketball development and community engagement for the NBA and FIBA, we've seen over a dozen players get drafted out of this camp, among them Joel Embiid, who is this year's MVP for the NBA, Pascal Siakam, who was both of those young men from Cameroon, Joel in 2011 and Pascal in 2012, you know, the Gorgui Dieng. It's a long list.
For the answer, I know we touched this in our press conference, and it's going to be about women, and that is extremely important for our continent women, and we see that they're doing really good and Afro either world stage level. And what vision in investing in young women basketball players across Africa? Can there be any Women Basketball Africa League? And what if there is, do you have time?
Yeah, so again, we want to stay consistent in all our commitment to grow the game of basketball across gender. You know, and then this is what we've done through the camps that we talked about, whether it was Basketball Without Borders or all the regional camps we organize, is for both boys and girls. So, you know, the growth of the game, increasing the number of participants and growing a fan base cannot happen without being very involved also in making sure that girls have equal access to playing the sport. So we started in terms of this professional league, the Basketball Africa League, with the men's league. But ultimately, you know, I have no doubt that there will be a day where we'll have a league for the women too.
This was Amadou Galafal from Kigali. We had a chance to speak with him and about how they're planning to add women to this league, Sonny. It might be a long process, but that's one of the images they want to have, women leagues.
Yeah, I think the BAL and Amadou Galafal, they've been very proactive in promoting, gender equity and women's initiatives I think they had the Ball for Her, Muckville.
Yeah, yeah. Ball for Her is an amazing initiative, as we heard Amadou Fall talking about it, saying that ideally it would be the next thing in line for the continent. We also have, you know, Masai Ujiri's Giants of Africa that is doing a lot of initiatives for young women as well, making sure that the game is going to the masses, and not only the boys, but the girls are also getting excited about the game too. So it's an exciting time to be in Africa and Africa sports in general. But going to the games, I'm excited to hear about, you know, we saw the finals. What about that third place game, Petro de Luanda versus Stade Malien? Petro was expected and predicted to have won the tournament, and they lost. The only two losses they had in the tournament was back-to-back losses.
In the playoffs.
In the playoffs. Sheck, talk to us about what do you feel like went wrong with Petro in their first initial loss?
We had a chance to really look into everything in there from the beginning, their body language, you know, and everybody agreed that Petro was not Petro in the playoff. And
maybe overconfident?
Yeah. Some people say locker room problem because this is not a player's problem. Petro was the only team that can take the five out and put the five in. It's the same result
right.
on the court.
Right.
When it comes to game and talent, you know, Majok, Suleiman Jabati, both Pedro, mm-hmm. number 45 with the long hair.
Yeah.
Big man that can hit threes. Like, it was really loaded.
Right.
Very loaded to a point that everybody thought they were going to win the whole thing, especially the Isolo and Majok.
Oh, of course.
So it was a, Sonny, everybody agreed that it was a problem that was not fixed before they was out there on the court. And nobody can know. He's internal, but they had a really good coach, Joseph. Everybody know him. He's been with them for so long. And every year they participate on this, and they've been... Angola has been knowing. I had a chance to talk to one of the Angolan players, the five-time Afro basketball champions.
Victor. Maurice?
Yeah, Victor.
Okay.
Yeah, Victor mentioned that they have everything but Bo. You know, so they have every championship in Africa, but Bo, they just won one. They just won one, but they can't get it, you know. I think it's internal, but they haven't been their best so far on that playoff.
Well, what about the age aspect, Sheck? Do you think they're maybe just getting a little old terms of their roster?
I think the experience they have, you know, the experience they have in playing at the competitive at a higher level. We saw them compete with ABC Fighter until the last minute. Everybody thought they was going to lose that game, and ABC Fighter coach Liz Mills.
Sporty greetings. This is Liz Mills, head coach of Abidjan Basketball Club of Côte d'Ivoire. You are listening to Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
It was a game of coaches. Everybody knew it was a game of coaches making decisions at late minute that gave another team a victory. But I don't think it's age, because they compete against, they beat everybody, including Al Ahly. And the Nile Conference.
Right.
So I don't think it's an age problem, because they did 5-0 Nile Conference. Right. It was a problem they had, Sonny, that everybody's until now trying to figure out what exactly happened.
Yeah.
But it's internal again. You know, I think it was not, the moral was not all time high, because we saw players by the languages when they get subbed out, you know, and they didn't like it or something going on. But he also made a lot of subs in the game that you need to stay consistent with your players, because the new players that come in the game, they're going to face a different things. You know, players that stick together with their teams at the moment did better than, you know, them. For instance, the Stade Malien team, they stick with their starters with this team.
Right.
You know, and they catch back up in the third quarter and just turned around and that was it. And took the lead and win. You know, we all know the Stade Malien team, when they come off a loss, whenever they come off a loss, it's over. You know, whenever they come off a loss, whatever team come facing them, better believe the Stade Malien coming to beat you by 20. You know, that was really fun to watch, you know.
Muckville, this marks the third year in a row a North African club has lifted the trophy. The debut season, it was Zamalek from Egypt, and then Monastir won from Tunisia. And this year, it was Al Ahly winning the trophy in Kigali. What do you credit for this North African success?
Honestly, I feel like the game has just been around more and accepted more from the North African countries for a while. If you look at, you know, teams like, you know, countries like Egypt, right, with Zamalek and Al Ahly, they have such a rich history of the game. Some of these club teams are 100 years old, you know.
Resources.
Right. Resources and just the entire buy-in from the fan base to the people there. If your go-to game is football on the continent, infrastructure probably isn't where it's supposed to be, hence why BAL is doing such a tremendous job in building that infrastructure for certain countries at the moment. But I think mainly that's what it is. For me, when I look at it, it's teams that have already had that history with the game, knowing what it is that they need to do, and just having the backing, whether it's financial or whether it's, you know, the buy-in from the entire public and the fans. You see when the Nile Conference, when Al Ahly's playing.
Thanks, Mukbil Yabaro, and another VOA colleague, Sheck Tierro, join me for a special VOA podcast, Nothing But Net. Now let's go to South Sudan, where the country's national women's football team, the Bright Starlets, has a new changing room facility, which I'm sure will brighten the mood of players. Juliana Shiapai tells us more from Juba.
Agostino Madut, chairman of the South Sudan Football Association, says the new facility will attract more women to join the country's national female soccer team, the Bright Starlets.
This facility is going to be an advantage to them because it was not a good thing for them. Sometimes they come and they change in the car. Sometimes they go to the house to go and change. It reduces also the capacity to participate effectively in the football.
Netherlands Embassy in South Sudan donated 4 containers with materials for equipping the new changing room for women athletes in South Sudan. Skipper Marjan, Netherlands ambassador to South Sudan, says her country supports women leadership.
And I think women need space. Women need space not only to flourish and to be equal, but also just physical space where they can change. It's very practical. So words will not do the trick, but it is also the practical stuff that we need. And I hope that with this, it will serve as a role model, this team, the Bright Starlets, for the rest of the girls and women in South Sudan.
The representative of the United Nations Population Fund, or UNFPA, in South Sudan says his office noticed a gap in gender equality and social norms that continues to challenge the young girls in South Sudan. Ademola Olajide says the United Nations Population Fund is working with female soccer players to create awareness about some of the issues preventing women from active participation in sports.
Working with these young girls, first of all, for them to be able to play their sports with dignity. So we supported them with containers, changing rooms, even income-generating activities, and dignity kits. But beyond that, we're also providing them training in reproductive health, so they become advocates and champions of SRHR, sexual and reproductive health and rights, and also advocating for gender equality. So the society as a whole is able to benefit from the contributions of the men and the women.
Soga Grace is with the Munike Women's Soccer Team and a member of the Starlets for Change nonprofit. She says the new facility for women at Buluk is a great achievement in the history of sports in South Sudan.
Before, the girls used to change in the open, I mean, just in front of the fans, in front of people at the pitch, which wasn't really a good thing. But now they will be having their privacy, you know, because they now have a changing room there at Buluk. Really, we stationed these containers at Buluk is because that is where the national team, the Bright Starlets, that is where they train from. And they also have their friendly games there. And also some of the local games that happen here in Juba for girls, they also do take place there at Buluk. So we chose that because that is like the main pitch for now that can be accessed by most of these girls. So
officials from UNFPA and the South Sudan Football Association says they hope the partnership with Netherlands Embassy will boost women participation in sports and confidence building. For VOA News, I am Juliana Shiapai in Juba.
Thanks, Juliana. And go, Bright Starlets! And that wraps up the June 1st edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in.
I get it.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.